Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. The one new man is the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. And his body will not be complete until Jewish people and Gentile people become one in the Messiah. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is Mary Nahas. I'm interviewing her on the book she wrote about her father. The title is The Journey of Private Galleon, and subtitled How America Became a Superpower, because, you see, her father was so sovereignly led by God in World War II that had he not been led by God, the whole destiny of America would have been changed. But I'm getting a little ahead of my story. You see, he found a concentration camp, and this concentration camp was underground, and it was where the Germans were developing their missile power, their ballistic missiles, and the technology. And tell me a bit, Mary, about in the 1930s, Wernher von Braun.
Yes. When he was a little boy, he was enthralled with space, and he hooked 6 rockets to a toy wagon and shot it down the street. Afterwards, he shot so many of these things that his rockets were becoming banned. This little boy figured out a way to turn his toy rocket into the world's first ballistic missile. But his objective was really for space travel, not for weaponry. But when the German army heard about him and saw what he had done, they got him to work for the German army. And he was like an opportunist that anybody who would fund him, he would do it, you know. And so he went with the German army, but he expressed that he really didn't want to do weapons. But once you're in the grips of the Nazis, you have to totally sell out. He became a Nazi. He was, I think, a major in the SS. He had to totally throw himself into that to keep himself safe. And thousands of people died making his rockets in a secret tunnel at a concentration camp called Mittelbau-Dora Concentration Camp.
Now, tell me how people got into that concentration camp to be workers.
Heinrich Himmler had a secret meeting with Albert Speer after the British bombed a place called Peenemünde. Peenemünde was another secret rocket facility where they were going to do research and development, perfect the rocket, and then manufacture it. But by accident, Wernher von Braun shot one of his missiles into Switzerland, and Britain found out. And they actually came and got the broken parts. And when they saw the enormity of this thing, they said, we have to find this place and stop it in its tracks. And they bombed Peenemünde. And Albert Speer and Heinrich Himmler had a meeting and said, let's resurrect the rocket program underground in the old munitions dump in the Harz Mountains. And they got people from Buchenwald and other camps, and they started pouring into the camp. At first it was not Jews, and later the Jews were sent in. And by record numbers, even children were killed in this place. They were forced to work with no food, no water, and do adult work. And Jews were given specific punishments, and their work was made even harder for them, so they would suffer more in this camp. So even though there were many supposed non-Jews, many of the Jews were hiding under being non-Jews because it didn't benefit them to be Jewish in this camp. Many of them changed their names to Catholic names, and I know some of them today. And so this camp was operating at full speed so that Hitler could bring Britain to their knees. He wanted to shoot 5,000 missiles into Britain all at once, but the people were dying in record numbers. And they said a prayer that is pretty significant. And I'd like to read that if I can.
Please.
The prayer is, they begged God to inject into the American soldiers the madness that would make them plunge forward enough to free us. Don't lose any time, guys. We're here and crying out for help, and you should hear us well. You, Harry, even if you have an ache in your side, charge on in spite of it. And you, Joe, even if your tank runs out of gas, push it with every ounce of strength. If you're tired, keep on as though nothing had happened without stopping. So long as you arrive here, you'll have all the time you went to sleep afterward. I received a phone call from Yves Bayon. He is a survivor of Dora. And he said to me, your father was the soldier we prayed for. And he told me the prayer. And when I saw the prayer, how everything he described in that prayer is everything my father did to find them, I was astounded.
You know, speaking of your dad, there were many times that he should have died. But miracle after miracle happened to save his life.
Yeah.
Which comes first, the chicken or the egg? His love for the Jewish people is why his life was spared. And what he did was why his life was spared. It was almost as though God knew what he was going to do and blessed him ahead of time. Tell me some of the miracles that happened.
During the war, one of the first miracles that happened was the miracle at the Mark River. My father and his entire troop, which I think may have been something like 40-some men in his company, 415B, They had started to cross the Mark River, and they got into their boats, but the boats were being shelled, and they had to jump out and swim under fire. The entire company was killed, except for my father and his sergeant and a third man. When they reached the other side of the river, they realized that there was a divine reason. They had this overwhelming feeling that there was a divine reason they were spared. And then in Aachen was the second miracle, and that's when my father and his troop came up into Aachen, Germany, and met a whole line of German tanks blocking their advance. You have to realize the spiritual significance of this. The blocking the advance is keeping the soldiers from getting to the camp sooner, and more Jewish people and non-Jews are dying.
You know what it's almost like? It's almost like the devil is pulling out all stops to see that every Jew is going to die.
Yep.
And God is pulling out all stops to see that Jews live. Right. It's like a war going on in the spirit realm, as I read your book.
Yes, exactly. Yep. And when he reached Aachen, he stood up in his Jeep and in the dark, in the black of night, aimed for the lead tank and with a single round blew up the main tank and caused the entire line of tanks to retreat. He was given the Bronze Star and his sergeant was given the Silver Star. And then when he reached the Ruhr River, another miracle happened. Yves Bayon called me to talk to me about this because I didn't realize the significance of what he did at the Ruhr River. He is the Dora survivor who said that prayer. And he said to me, what your father did at the Ruhr River alone enabled the troops to get to the camps before we were all dead. At the Ruhr River, the troops were stuck there for 2.5 months. There was an enemy nest across the river trying to kill the soldiers and killing soldiers as they were trying to come across a flooded river. Somehow, my father swam across that river and crawled to within feet of the enemy nest. And under fire, when they saw him under fire, he threw grenades in there and wounded a Nazi officer and took them single-handedly prisoner, the other two or three. And he received the Bronze Star with Oak Leaf Cluster for causing that advance to seize their next objective. So all along, my father was not only the one who would find the camp, but he was causing, he was the one to break the blockade.
Tell me the beginning of how he started his trip that ultimately ended up in changing the destiny to America.
Right.
How did he start this walk?
Right.
What was going on inside of him?
After the Ruhr River, he was wounded at the Rhine. And then he still was able to do 175 miles of continuous battle. But the soldiers were so exhausted after that that they had to find a good reason to pull over and rest. So they called it maintenance, and they pulled over in a place that was southwest of Paderborn, and I believe my dad said it was called Liebstadt. But when they pulled over at Liebstadt, my father smelled an odor, and he had a gut feeling that the odor had something to do with the rumor of concentration camps in the area. So him and another buddy tried tried to figure out, if you were a Nazi, how would you get the people, the prisoners, through the towns and sneak them through and get them into these camps? And they came to the conclusion it must be the trains. Well, once those words were said, my father became plagued with a gut feeling to follow the train. He asked for permission to go, but the sergeant said, no, it's too dangerous. There's not enough men to send in, and we don't even know what direction to send you in, you know. But my father said he tried to put it off and forget it, but as the day went on, something kept nagging him to follow the train. So when all his buddies were getting into their sleeping bags that night, my father left to follow the train. He had not intended on going AWOL. He had intended on just forfeiting his sleep, scouting, and being back by the time roll call happened. But something supernatural happened to him about 3 hours into his walk. He said that his wound was killing him, and he wanted to turn around and come back. And just when he was about to turn around, a strong force pushed him. He got happy because he thought it was his buddy who wouldn't come with him. He thought he had changed his mind and decided to support him. So he turned around to see who it was, and nobody was there. Then he said, and he got up out of his chair to show me this thing that happened to him. He said it grabbed him at the elbows and turned him around as though to say, no, keep going. Don't turn around. You're on the right track. And then he described that not only did this thing lead him in the right direction, but it gave him the resurgence of strength that he needed, and the wound wasn't hurting anymore. And then what he described next is almost as if angels were, I don't know, somehow...
I'll tell you what, hold that thought. Mishpocha, this book is so fascinating, you won't be able to put it down. It reads like fiction, but it's truth that has been hidden from the American public, hidden from traditional Jews. It's going to literally be one of the more exciting books that you've read in a long time. We're making it available for a donation of $20, The Journey of Private Galeone. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.